and I was at during the week. My children, my eldest, have moved out. They can't afford to stay in these homes.
All right.
You know, and all the tenants want is active engagement and clarification regards the position of their homes and home ownership.
And whether they can buy it or not. That's well put. And we'll wrap it up there, Shirley, because I'm out of time.
Thank you so much.
Please stay in touch with us on that and indeed any in the other housing associations. And as ever, again, I haven't had any response. Fiona McLaughlin-Healy was wondering, had I a response to the open invitation I extended on the programme to the chairpersons or indeed any of the directors of these various housing associations to come on the programme with us to discuss the particular issues that tenants are raising. I've had no reply whatsoever to that, but the invitation is open and will stay open for anyone who sits at board level or chairmanship level of these boards to come on the programme and give their particular perspective.
Air Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, interesting little spat emerging on Twitter between Sinn Féin TD Patricia Ryan, who's taking issue with a tweet she's alleging came from Independent TD Cathal Berry. The alleged tweet says, Hi Patricia, hope all is well. As you know, it was actually not a tweet, sorry, it was a WhatsApp message, we're told. And it has been sent to us by Patricia Ryan's office. The alleged tweet by our WhatsApp message by Cathal Berry reads, Hi Patricia, hope all is well. As you know, I could have went to town on you and Sinn Féin on the voting debacle last night and the interview on KFM this morning. I didn't. I hope that is appreciated and remembered. I look forward to more constructive messaging on social media from your office in future. Happy to meet for coffee anytime. Have a good weekend. Your colleague, your constituency colleague, well, that's a separate WhatsApp message. Patricia Ryan is expressing her displeasure at what she says is, alleges that message, which she alleges, came from Cathal Berry. She's in meetings this morning, which she has put it up. Is it, Owen, on Twitter or WhatsApp, or where is this at the minute?
Yeah, so she, Patricia Ryan, has a post up on Facebook. It was posted 10 hours ago with that screenshot of the message from allegedly Independent TD Cathal Berry, as you said. We were alerted to it when Councillor Noel Connolly tweeted us in relation to
Sinn Féin Councillor, yes.
Sinn Féin Councillor,
and he's,
yes.
He's Patricia Ryan's parliamentary assistant.
He is indeed, and he tagged us in a tweet and also attached that screenshot as well. So it's up on Twitter, and we've been in touch with Patricia Ryan's office. As you say, she's in meetings this morning, but has indicated that she would be available to talk to us on Monday.
And what's her problem with the face of it? I know we'll ask her on Monday what is her problem, but what's your understanding of having spoken with Noel Connolly? Is Patricia Ryan's problem with Cathal Berry just saying, I could have went, and I'm quoting the message, the use of the word went to town on you and Sinn Féin on the voting debacle last night. This is when Sinn Féin effectively walked out of the voting on the Offences Against the State Bill recently. Yeah. They said they abstained, but they didn't abstain, because to abstain you have to press a button to indicate you abstained. Patricia Ryan herself didn't seem to be sure about what was happening in the Dáil that night. She said she was a bit confused and didn't realise that there were a couple of more votes and whatever else. And we interviewed Cathal Berry that morning. Indeed, he came across quite reasonable in his views regarding Sinn Féin. And in this message, he seems to elaborate on that by saying, I didn't effectively go to town on you. I hope that is appreciated and remembered.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that sentence means. I look forward to more constructive messaging on social media from your office in future. Now, the message is allegedly a WhatsApp from Cathal Berry, but of course we have to get the view as to whether it did come from Cathal Berry. Owen.
Yeah, so I might just read out the post that Patricia Ryan has put up on Facebook, and then also Noel Connolly's tweet, because they are obviously made public. So the tweet from the Facebook post from Patricia Ryan. Some of you may have seen the recent article in the Irish Independent where I was accused of trying to bully and intimidate a constituency colleague. I was accused of a sinister attempt to influence another TD into voting with Sinn Féin. Nothing could be further than the truth. I showed the Dáil voting record to demonstrate that I vote on the side of ordinary workers and their families. On many occasions, my constituency colleagues do not. What I did find sinister and threatening was the message I received from a constituency colleague telling me how good he was for not going to town on me the day before he went on local radio and spoke to a national newspaper in an attempt to discredit me. I am used to the cut and thrust of politics, but I still come across situations which make me stop and think, are some people for real? So I will continue highlighting the work I am doing and that of the fact that other TDs in this constituency, etc., etc. The tweet from Noel Connolly then is saying, fair play to Patricia Ryan for calling this behaviour out.
Well, he would say that in fairness. He's her parliamentary assistant, yeah.
Yeah, it's no wonder people don't get involved in politics with this kind of carry-on. He then says that Cathal Berry had the cheek to talk about sinister and threatening behaviour, and obviously that is what Noel Connolly has put in the tweet.
Who used the words sinister and threatening behaviour? I think it was Patricia Ryan used that, did she not?
That tweet is from Noel Connolly.
I know, but who in the original message, who mentioned sinister and threatening behaviour?
Noel Connolly's
was
tweet.
Was that not in the Facebook message that Patricia Ryan put out? No,
I've read that out there and I don't believe that said sinister and threatening.
All right, well, let's see what's sinister and threatening about this, or is this an overreaction on Patricia Ryan's part in regards to just a message that would have come from Cathal Berry saying, look, I could have gone to town and I didn't. I presume, and I'm not here advocating now for anybody, but when he says, I could have went to town and you... I'm inferring that what he might have meant is that he could have been much more harsh in his criticisms than he actually was. As to why he wasn't, well, that's for him to answer. Let's see, can the two of them, can we get the two of them on the programme? We understand Patricia Ryan will be on the programme on Monday, will she?
Yeah, and I've just actually looked back at the Facebook post there, and she, Patricia Ryan does say, what I did find sinister and threatening was the message that I received from...
She used the word sinister and threatening.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. All right, we'll ask her what she means and why she thinks and what she thinks that message or how it could be sinister and threatening. So we have two of our public representatives in South Kildare now at odds, and we'll invite both of them onto the programme on Monday maybe to respond to that particular situation. Okay, Owen, we're going to move on because we're beginning to run over time a bit, so we'll be joined in just a minute or so by the Fianna Fáil TD for Tipperary and the Chair of the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee, Jackie Callan. This was after two Kildare-based racing industry organisations appeared before the Oireachtas Committee yesterday to discuss what the committee calls concerns surrounding the integrity of their sport in regards to that. Well, let's find out more. We'll be joined by Jackie Call in just a minute or two on that. And I've been told at the minute that that call is not ready yet, so we'll take a quick break.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, so we're extending invitations to Patricia Ryan. We understand she's agreeable to come on the programme on Monday, Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South, and also we're extending an invitation to Independent TD Cathal Berry to find out what is the nature of this spat between the two of them. A listener now says that Cathal Berry, that you originally used the word sinister and threatening in his Independent article. Well, we'll see what happens on that, and we leave that particular message there for the moment and see how it unfolds. But yesterday, a couple of Kildare bodies in the horse racing industry appeared before the Oireachtas Committee in regards to what's going on. The Joint Committee on Agriculture, Food and Marine held the first of three separate hearings to discuss horse racing in Ireland and the issues facing the sport. The series of meetings to be held from yesterday and the 13th of July with representatives from Horse Racing Ireland, the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board and the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. The committee met yesterday, and the Cathaoirleach of that Oireachtas Committee is Tipperary TD Jackie Cahill, Fianna Fáil TD indeed, who joins us now. Good morning, Jackie Cahill.
Good morning.
Thank you for... So, these hearings, have they come about as a result of the reported remarks of Jim Bulger that he feels that doping is an issue in the horse racing industry that's not been addressed?
Yes, they have, and I suppose, you know, it's widely publicised, the remarks that he made. I suppose the first comments he made were last October, after winning the Dewhurst Stakes in Newmarket, but he repeated them a couple of times this spring, and, you know, they were widely reported in the media. So there was a request in from a member of the committee that, you know, as the Oireachtas Committee was surveillance and, you know, all over the horse racing industry, that we should invite in the various stakeholders and, you know, make sure that the highest possible standards are in place for Irish racing and its integrity is intact. So that was, as you said there in your introduction, the first of those meetings was yesterday, and we have two more meetings on the subject. But Mr. Bulger was invited into the committee, but on legal advice, he has declined the invitation, which, you know, he's perfectly entitled to do. But, you know, it could have been helpful if he came in and, you know, gave an outline of where these comments are coming from.
So who came before you yesterday? Was it the Horse Racing Ireland and the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board only?
Yeah, they were in front of us yesterday, and we, due to COVID, we were restricted to two-hour hearings, and we stayed out for about 2.25 hours, and we didn't get finished, and they're going to be invited back in again next week. So there was very intensive questioning, and they outlined exactly what procedures they have in place, and, you know, what testing is there, and, you know, the fact that their lab quality that they're using are up to the highest possible international standards. So there was very intensive questioning of the witness yesterday, and I would have to say, you know, their answers were very forthcoming and very comprehensive.
Who addressed you on behalf of Horse Racing Ireland?
Horse Racing Ireland was the chief executive, Brian Cavanagh, was there.
Right, he's the outgoing chief executive. He's slated to take over as chief executive of the Curragh Racecourse in times. What was Horse Racing Ireland's response? I mean, was it not to be expected that they would say what they said? That, and I'm relying now on just memory of, I think, what they... Well, you tell me what they informed the committee specifically.
Well, I suppose Horse Racing Ireland just outlined, you know, that their testing and the testing regime is in the remit of the regulatory body. So Horse Racing Ireland came in there, and, you know, they just, you know, Brian Campbell gave an opening statement for around 10 minutes, and he was open to take questions then from the floor. I would have to say most of the questions were directed at the regulatory body, and Lynn Hilliard, who was their vice, who works in the Curragh. She took most of the questions there. There was also a bit there from Newmarket, and Dennis Egan, their chief executive, was on the parliamentary precincts and Leinster House as well. So most of the questions were directed at the regulatory authority.
And what was their overall response to the fact? Because Bulger is obviously an extremely reputable man and one of the most successful trainers in the country. He'd hardly make these allegations, which he has. They've been repeated right across all media without feeling that he has the necessary foundation.
Well, look, I'm not going to adjudicate on that, and we're not, you know, we're not a committee of inquiry.
So
I'm not trying to be confrontational about what we wanted to do yesterday and what we tend to do with these series of meetings is to get reassurance for the general public that the standards and the testing in place are in place in Irish racing are up to the best possible international standards. And that's, you know, that was the objective of yesterday. Now, there was referrals yesterday due to the committee meeting to things that happened 10 or 12 years ago. And it's obvious that, you know, there has been tightened up scrutiny in the last number of years by horse racing authorities. And, you know, that is to be welcomed. But I see my job and the committee see their job is to make sure that we are convinced that the highest possible standards are in place and that, you know, that doping is not happening within Irish racing.
But surely the only way, Jackie Cahill, that you and your committee members can be convinced is by some sort of independent audit of what's going on in racing. Because with all due respects to Horse Racing Ireland and the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board, and you mentioned their chief executive, Dennis Egan. I understand Mr. Egan is going to retire in September. He announced just recently, but that's neither here nor there. But they would say that, wouldn't they? And I say that with absolute respect to them and their integrity. But surely what you and your committee need and what the general public needs, given what Jim Bulger continues to maintain, is some sort of independent assessment and audit that is in fact the case.
Well, look, I'm not going to preempt the decisions of the committee. We're going to have, as I said, we have three meetings planned. The first of them was yesterday. And after that, we will be making recommendations as a committee as what we feel is necessary to restore confidence in the industry. And the confidence in the industry and the integrity of the industry has been damaged. There's no point in saying it hasn't when you have, an eminent man like Jim Berger in the racing industry making those statements. It has done damage. There's no point in saying otherwise. But, we will have the three meetings and then we will make decisions as to what needs to be implemented to give the public confidence that there is not doping in the horse racing industry, and to give confidence back give confidence back to the public that the highest possible standards are in place and that no one is escaping through the net.
Mr. Cal, before I go over my change topic, by the way, who are you meeting at the next meeting? Will it be the department?
Horse trainers are coming in, and we intend to finish deliberations with Horse Racing Ireland and the Horse Racing Board as well next Tuesday, and then the department will be in the following Tuesday.
Okay, before you go, Mr. Cal, if I might, you are Fianna Fáil TD for Tipperary, as well as being chairperson of that Agriculture and Marine Committee, to give it its proper full title. Your fellow TD is in the news today, Martin Brown, Sinn Féin TD. He's chair of the Committee on Public Petitions, and he was called on by government members of the committee to clarify his position over the killing of Garda Jerry McCabe by members of the IRA. You will be, I'm sure, familiar with that story that's making in the Examiner this morning. Mr. Brown recently told Tip FM, your local station, that he would not go as far as his party leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, who had condemned the IRA killers in a television interview for the killing. At the committee meeting, he said he unreservedly condemned the killing in Adair County, Limerick, but he was accused of uttering empty, meaningless words by Fine Gael TD Brendan Griffin. What's your view, Mr. Cal?
Look, I heard the interview on TPFM last Friday morning, and I was actually contacted by the Irish Times on Friday evening for a comment, and that was published in the Times on Saturday in my name, Lawrence Column. Look, his comments were completely inappropriate for an elected member of our office. You know, we're elected, and the government uphold the laws of the state. And, you know, here we had a man on record on the radio says that, you know, he refused to condemn the action. And he implied that if it was sanctioned by the Army Council, that was okay. He didn't say that directly, but he implied it. So, for a person, who's elected by the people to uphold the laws of the country, his comments were completely and utter out of order. And, even to go back at this stage to try and clarify his comments won't repair the damage. And, the people who were elected to uphold the Constitution and the laws of our country, Garda Síochána are a cornerstone of that. We depend wholly on them, and it really must shake the confidence of Garda Síochána that a member of the Oireachtas would refuse to condemn the killing of a member of theirs who was shot down.
Well, he did condemn the killing, he said, but he wouldn't condemn the people who did the killing.
Yeah, he didn't condemn the killing, and when he was doing the interview last Friday morning,
all right, okay.
He refused to do the word. He spotted what he should. And he said, I refuse. The condemnation is a very strong word, and he said that on a number of occasions. And he also referred to the fact whether the action was sanctioned or not. I don't care whether it was sanctioned or not. It was just wrong. You can't shoot a member of a Garda Síochána under any circumstances. They're performing their duties with the citizens of the country. You just condemn anyone that do that absolutely out of hand. Up to a number of years ago, it was punishable by the capital offence. It was punishable by hanging. And that has only been changed in the last number of years. It's a capital offence.
Okay.
It carries a mandatory life sentence. Our guards are the cornerstone of our security, of keeping law and order in the country. And, it divides comprehension.
All right.
That you wouldn't condemn that out of hand.
Fianna Fáil TD for Tipperary and chairperson of the Oireachtas Agriculture and Marine Committee, Jackie Cahill, on those hearings yesterday with Horse Racing Ireland and the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. Two more meetings will be held before the committee issues whatever findings it might issue in that, and also reacting to the failure by Sinn Féin TD for Tipperary, Brendan Brown, to condemn the killers of the Garda Jerry McCabe all those years ago in Adair County, Limerick. Jackie Cahill, thank you indeed for your time this morning, Fianna Fáil TD for Galway, on that note. Okay, keep your messages coming. We'll move straight on because we've a very busy programme ahead. And just let's see indeed what we have just to take in a message. Morning, Clem. Did you get any answers on the topic of farmers cutting hedges this time of year? There was a farmer cutting hedges and trees along with pulling out hedges not far... all right, Sean, I won't name the particular area because my understanding is that nobody should be cutting hedges this time of year unless it's to do with road safety and must be have proper permission in relation to that indeed. The childish behaviour of the 2D TDs would be funny if we weren't paying them around €95,000 each. Well, we're paying a lot more than that when you add in all the expenses. Clem, are you sure you're not KFM, are you sure you're not Clem? I don't know what... I'm never sure about myself. I have to laugh at all radio and TV belittling the conspiracy brigade. Have to admit they were right about the vaccine passports, says Mary. Mary, okay. I'm not going to comment on that. And would you really like to be associated with their followers? They were disgusting. We're talking about the English fans as well as the referee. He was afraid of the crowd. In fairness to Gary Lineker has tweeted this morning appealing to England fans not to boo the Italian national anthem because he says it's a great tune and he likes to hear it, and anyway, to boo anybody's national anthem, he said, is unacceptable and classless. Right? And somebody else reminded me, by the way, Shannon reminded me of another English-born player who played for Ireland, Michael Keane. Indeed, played underage and he has been capped by the England senior team since, but his brother continued to play for Ireland. Interesting, isn't it, the way these things interact. Now, it's good morning to Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Clem, and to all your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Now, Fiona, Oireachtas Committee is very busy these times and we're dealing with one in regards to the whole area of the Joint Committee on Disability Matters launched its budget 2022 pre-budget submission yesterday. In advance of the committee meeting, your Cathaoirleach, like Michael Moynihan, said that this is a landmark convention, the United Nations Landmark on Disability, which simply seeks to ensure that people with disabilities can enjoy the same human rights as everyone else. This calls for a step change across all sectors of society. Well, what kind of a step change are you talking about, Fiona O'Loughlin?
And Michael, I have to say, has done a really excellent job in providing leadership in relation to this special committee, which is time-bound. And it's about really taking a rights-based approach to people with disabilities and to help them overcome the challenges that they have, as opposed to using a charity type of model. And one of the key issues, really, is that we, at the moment... people with a disability get an allowance. And you could say that's nearly as far as it goes. And what we want to ensure is that every single department within government looks at disability. We need to have cross-cutting policies. You know, and you cover very well, Clem, many of the backlogs and the challenges that face people with disabilities. We know that there are high levels of poverty for people with disabilities. They have the lowest employment rate in Ireland, in Europe. And there's lots of areas of inadequacy, you know, in relation to provision of services, supports, universal housing, home care hours, school places, transport. So we've made 38 different recommendations in the report that we launched yesterday, and that is gone now to the Minister for Finance. And basically those recommendations are around universal design, around multi-year funding, because a lot of the really excellent agencies that we have, they're really, you know, they're surviving year to year in terms of the knowing what funding they're getting. We want to have multi-year funding. We want to deal with, for example, there have been huge delays with primary certs. There's been the closure of the mobility allowance. That happened a few years ago. So there's a number of key areas. We also want to strengthen advocacy for people with disabilities. On most weeks, twice every week for about 3 hours over the last 10 months. And a lot of our consultation was with people with lived experience of disability. And that's hugely, hugely important in terms of informing us where we need to go with this. So they're very wide ranging. We're also awaiting the publication of two separate reports which have been commissioned, are important. The Indican report, and that's an international piece of research. And basically, that's looking again at wider than an income support system. It's looking at all of the different issues faced by people with disabilities relating to health, employment, education, etc., taking it from a whole government perspective. Now, I understand that that is due to be submitted soon, and then there'll be a forum of stakeholders to discuss the report and the potential approaches. And then there's another one that is coming from the Department of Disability, and I believe that is going to be published before the end of the year as well, and that's looking at the lives of people with disabilities up to the year 2032 and looking at what government needs to put in place to, again, just go back to that very basic fundamental issue that you mentioned at the start of this, that people with disabilities will have the same human rights and the same access services.
Now, that's all very well articulated, Fiona, and no one doubts the work of the committee, of which you're a member, because it's a very comprehensive report, up to 30 pages there, and I've been through it yesterday, and indeed the details, and it deals with equality and non-discrimination, accessibility, independent and adequate standard of living and social protection, employment, education, health and life, freedom from exploitation, violence and abuse, autonomy and integrity, participation in political and public life, and much more. But the bottom line to deliver all of this is, and the purpose of your report is, in advance of Budget 2022, which is coming up in October, funding and resources. All of this will be very fine sentimentality, the Indicon report, the other report you mentioned, unless we can get boots on the ground by putting enough money into these things.
You're 100% correct. And that's why we wanted to be ambitious, we wanted to show vision and to be far-reaching. There's no point in coming out with something that isn't going to address the issues. We absolutely want to show the scale of what is needed. And while we appreciate that, you know, so much money has had to go into COVID measures over the last 18 months, it just shows when there is an absolute necessity and an absolute will to do something, that money can be borrowed and money can be found.
All right.
And we believe the same drive should be there to support people with disabilities, who are around 7% of our population.
The report is the Joint Committee on Disability Matters, of which Senator Fiona Loughlin is a member, aligning disability funding with the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability. It's their Budget 22 pre-budget submission, and it's just been issued. Fiona Loughlin, thank you for that, Fiona.
Thank you, Tim. And just to make the point too, it's not just about a government approach. It's really about changing attitudes in society as well. But the funding needs to go in. It needs to be government-led. And then we can work with society.
Indeed. Well said. Thank you for that, Fiona. And good morning to you, Owen.
Well, as the country prepares for an outdoor summer of picnics and barbecues, and indeed we've already had some of those already, the Environmental Protection Agency has launched a new campaign to encourage people to reduce their food waste, highlighting simple steps and food storage steps to make their fresh food last longer. And to talk more about this, Odile Bullock joins us on the line. She's a scientist and food waste prevention team leader with the EPA. Odile, good morning to you and welcome to the programme again.
Hi, morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Just reading through some of these points and information that's on the EPA website, some of these are such simple steps that maybe we don't even think about doing in order to reduce our food waste and save more money.
Yeah, I think, and you know, the other thing actually that we don't consider food waste when, you know, many of us are trying to be a bit greener, you know, and reduce our impact on the planet and, you know, climate change and that kind of thing. And we actually don't realise that food waste is a significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. So actually reducing your food waste is an easy thing you can do. And it doesn't cost you anything. In fact, it saves you money. So it's win-win for everybody, the environment and our pockets.
Yeah, the average Irish family will save €700 per year, we're told, by taking those simple steps to reduce their food waste. And it seems as though the likes of vegetables, fruit and salads are the foods that are thrown out most often at home.
Yeah, you know, with research that we've done, we found that actually this is something that troubles people quite a bit. You know, they say they throw away an awful lot of fruit, vegetables and salads, and look, that's no shock. These are, you know, perishable, they go off quite quickly. And in fact, you know, people say that they waste a lot of these things, but they'd also like to find out ways of making fresh food last longer. And this is where our Stop Food Waste campaign comes in. We want to provide simple tips. We don't want to make it complicated. These are just everyday things that you remember. And I suppose, you know, more than likely, most of us, we come home from shopping, throw everything into the fridge and forget about it until, you know, we either eat it or the following week we're looking at, oh God, we never ate that. So we really just wanted to highlight, not all fruit and veg are the same. Some things are better in the fridge, some things are better out in the air. And really it is just a little bit of thinking before you put it all away. And we have a handy guide on our Stop Food Waste website called the A to Z of Food. So anything, you know, common in your home that you want to know about, we'll provide you with some tips on how to manage them better in the home.
And we'll talk about some of the most common foods, the likes of potatoes and carrots, shortly. But one thing that sometimes I always do is when I go into the shop is you buy certain fruits and vegetables, but you don't portion them. So you might buy a packet of something rather than the amount that you just need. And then when you bring them home, they're gone off before you get a chance to use them all. So maybe portion sizes and only buying the amount that you need would be a good tip as well.
Yeah, and I know that can be a bit of a challenge for smaller households, you know, because things do come in packs of 6, 20, that, you know, that kind of thing. And really it is just a little bit on our side that we need to think a little bit more. You know, sometimes you just pick up a bag of apples and maybe then you go, I'm going to be healthy this week, pick up a bag of oranges as well. And really, if you actually add all of those up, it's like 20 fruit. And are you really going to eat all of that? So, you know, sometimes we have the best of intentions and we buy stuff and then we just don't get to it. So if you can, you know, buy smaller packs or buy loose as well, which is, you know, some people like the convenience of just picking up a bag and bringing it home, you know, whereas others might prefer to buy something loose. And, you know, really it is just think about how much you actually need. And if you, you know, even if you find you do buy a larger pack when you go home, what you can actually do is split it up, you know, maybe put some tomatoes out on the counter because they're much better in the air. Mm. But put a few in the fridge just maybe to stretch them a bit longer that they don't start to ripen, and then during the week move them out to the counter when you're ready for them. So, you know, there's ways of doing this, and really what we're just trying to say is don't just bung everything into the fridge. With a little bit of behaviour change, we can make these things, you know, last just that little bit longer. Just stretch them out a little bit longer.
And as you said, Odil, the Stop Food Waste A to Z of Foods is available on the EPA website. And obviously we won't be able to go through every single fruit and veg that there is or food. But very quickly, a tip for potatoes and a tip for carrots then, because they're probably the most common foods in people's households. So how can we make them last longer?
Well, actually, potatoes, keep them out of the fridge. They need to go into a dark, dry place, and that'll stop them from sprouting. But actually, something that I didn't realise until we were doing this campaign is don't store onions with potatoes, because they release moisture, and that makes them sprout quicker. So definitely split up your potatoes and your onions, but don't put them in the fridge. Keep them in a dark place. And similarly, carrots, I think, you know, sometimes we think they're root veg, you throw them in a press somewhere, but they're actually better in the fridge, and, you know, it's better to take them out of the wrapper that they came in. That's great for transporting them and protecting them and all of that. But when you get them home, take them out of that and put them into the crisper drawer in your fridge. And in fact, the crisper drawer in your fridge is designed to regulate the amount of air and moisture, because that's actually what makes fruit and veg go off, is, you know, air circulation, moisture amount. So the crisper drawer is a great place for putting in your fruit and veg, and keeping carrots loose there is one of the best things you can do for them.
Well, there we go. Some great tips. And as Odil said, you can get more details on the EPA website. But Odil Bullock is a scientist and food waste prevention team leader with the EPA. Thanks as always for joining us, Odil.
Thank you indeed, Owen and Odil. I always put my tomatoes in the fridge anyway because I have a real problem with them. And the other thing are potatoes. God almighty, they sprout like mad, I have to say, in regards to that. Odil Bullock there of the EPA. Thank you indeed, and Owen. Now, the CSO's research in June 2021 prices show a rise of 1.6% in the year to June this year. Prices on average, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, 1.6% higher. This is the second largest annual change since April 2019, following May's increase of 1.7%. The most notable changes in the year, Kira, were?
Housing, water, electricity, gas and other fuels up 4.9%. Transport increased by 3.1%. Health increased by 2.4%. Restaurants and hotels, 1.7%. There was a decrease in communications, minus 1.6%, which I think is surprising. Furnishings, household equipment and routine household maintenance was down by 0.8%. Food and non-alcoholic beverages down by 0.3%. Clothing and footwear down by 0.1%. And as measured, as you say, by the CPI, consumer prices in June did increase by 0.2% in the month.
Now, the most significant monthly price changes were where?
Transport increased by 1.7%, health 0.3%, decreases in furnishings 0.9% of a decrease, miscellaneous goods and services, again a decrease of 0.5%.
Now, I want to jump down to the main factors contributing to the annual change were what?
Housing, water, electricity, gas and other fuels. They mainly rose due to the increase of the cost of heating your home, higher rents, mortgage interest repayments. Then transport, it increased primarily due to an increase in the cost of diesel and petrol. Restaurants and hotels rose due to the higher prices for alcoholic drinks and food consumed in the licensed premises. Then alcohol, beverages and tobacco increased due to the rise in the cost of tobacco products and higher prices for wine and spirits sold in the supermarkets and the off licenses. Communications decreased due to the cost of telephone and telefax services. Haven't read that word in a while. Furnishings, household equipment and routine household maintenance decreased primarily due to the lower price for non-durable household goods and household textiles. And food and non-alcoholic beverages fell due to the lower prices across a range of products such as meat.
Now we go down finally to the main factors that contributed to the monthly change. For example, transport.
Yeah, it rose primarily due to an increase in airfares, higher prices for diesel and petrol, as I mentioned. Then when it comes to the restaurants and hotels, that increased due to the higher prices for accommodation, partially offset by the lower prices for alcoholic drinks consumed on the premises. Miscellaneous goods and services mainly decreased due to the lower prices for appliances, articles and products for personal care and jewellery also. The decrease was partially offset by higher health insurance premiums. And then furnishing, household equipment and routine household maintenance decreased primarily due to lower prices for non-durable household goods.
So like the curate's egg, half good, half bad, I suppose, in terms of that, the
consumer price index.
Thanks, Ciara. It's a long time since I heard the word telefax too. I'm quite amazed at appearing in a report of 2021. The consumer price index research from the CSO showing June 2021 prices up just 1.6% in the year to date. I suppose it could be worse. Next up, we're going to be looking at the weekend sport. Thanks, Ciara.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, we've got a big weekend of sport ahead. Tomorrow we have two games. The minor footballers at 12 o'clock in St. Conrad's Park. The senior hurlers in Joe McDonagh Cup action at 3 o'clock in Cusick Park in Mullingar. We'll have full commentary on the hurling tomorrow with Ger McNally and former star Mark Maloney. And we'll have regular updates on the minor footballers from 12 noon with Pat Costello and Peter McConnon. And of course, on to Sunday, where the ladies are playing in the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship in Ballinasloe against Roscommon at 2 o'clock. And we'll have updates on that game from Ballinasloe with Seamus Dillon. First of all, team news has been announced. Let's begin with the senior hurlers. Owen has the line-out.
Yes, indeed, Clem. In goals, Paddy McKenna, Klein, full-back line, Cahill Derivan, Leakslip, Ryan Boren, Nace, Simon Lacey, Nace, half-back line, Kevin Whelan, Nace, Declan Flaherty, Coyle Dove, Jack Travers, Leakslip, midfield, Paul Dively, Confey, Brian Byrne, Nace, half-forward line, Cahill Dowling, Nace, Johnny Byrne, Coyle Dove, James Burke, Nace, and the full-forward line is Colm Chan, Confey, Jack Sheridan, Nace, David Slattery, Confey.
Before we hear from Tommy Callaghan, let's get the views of David Herity last time out.
Westmead are the same as Carlow, they were, they're in the same grade there last year. I think there's a puck of a ball between probably about eight teams around that, even the Joe McDonoughs, I'd say even if you look down kind of slightly down, well, obviously Offaly are in that kind of bracket as well, and Derry aren't too far behind down any time they're playing each other up in Ulster in the leagues. So there's nothing between them on a different day. Home venue is obviously massive, but again I don't see there being any issue. Then the wider field up in Cusack Park, I think, will suit us lovely.
The wider field in Cusack Park will suit them lovely, as opposed to maybe the tighter pitch at St Connaught's Park. Tommy Callaghan, Leinster Leader sports editor. A puck of a ball between them, would you share that view?
Maybe a couple of pucks, to be quite honest with you, Clem. It's had to be a marvellous hurler, a week of Focalair hurlers, minor under 20, and now what a way to finish off the week if Kildare could qualify for the final to John McDonough. To do that, I think they have to win by about 6 points. It's a big ask. Don't forget Westmeath have been playing up at the top boys in Division 1. It's a big, big difference from where Kildare have been operating in Division 2B. But Kildare are playing well. Paul Dively is back midfield. That's a big bonus. Jonathan Byrne is named at number 6, but there is a bit of a doubt about Johnny. He picked up a bit of a hamstring there last week. I'm not exactly sure. They're probably waiting until the last minute. Hopefully he's fit and able to line out. But it's a tough game, but Kildare, they've nothing to really lose at this stage. They're hurling well, and if they can get into the game early and put a bit of pressure on Westmeath, who knows?
Yeah, I'm just looking at that team, Tommy. Quite experienced, with a full back line of Derevan, Boren, Lacey, then in the half backs, Whelan, Flaherty, and Travers. Paul Dively, definitely, and Brian Byrne. That's a formidable centre field. And two former footballers in Johnny Byrne, of course, and David Slattery in there. But as you say, it's home venue for Westmeath. And Westmeath have been able, along the way in Division 1 and other ways, to put it up even to the likes of Galway times. Maybe losing fairly decisively in the end. But that level of hurling, Tommy, really brings a team on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now Westmeath, in fairness, did get a couple of heavy trimmings in the league, but the win last week against Carlow will bring them on. It'll boost their confidence a little bit. Now, in fairness, Carlow put them to the test. There was no easy cakewalk or anything like that for Westmeath, you know. And if Kildare can hang in there, maybe stick in an odd goal. And Westmeath, then the doubts will start creeping into them. On the other side of that, if Westmeath got into an early lead, their confidence would go, you know, would zoom up. But I said David Hardy is very happy the way things are going the whole year. He's happy that their preparation has gone well, and if they can play to their right up to the top of their ability, won't be too far away.
All right, full commentary tomorrow on Saturday Sports Beat with Owen Beattie. Commentary by Ger McNally and former star Mark Maloney in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Now, earlier at 12 noon, the minor footballers who are on a bit of a run as well go into action against it's against Carlow, of course. And once again, Owen, you have that minor team.
Yeah, David McPartlin of Raheens in goal, Robert Fitzgerald of Naas, Killian Doherty, Leakslip and Porrick Daly round Towers are the full back line. In the half back line, Dara Crowley, Raheens, Daniel Lenehan, Naas and Sean Brown, Suncroft. Middle of the field, James Harris, Castle Mitchell, Mark Gibbons, Kilcock. Half forward line, Killian Brown, Selbridge, Patrick Mahoney, Maynooth and Fionn Cook of Raheens. And the full forward line, Gavin Thompson, Raheens, Colm Dalton, Salins and Elliot Byrne, Naas.
And the Kildare minor manager is Cyril Kevlahan, speaking after their last win.
The lads performed very well. A big pressure game for young lads in the championship, and composed enough when it mattered to get the goals. And Longford were good and played a nice brand of football, so we had to be at our best to beat them. I suppose our inside line delivered really. The message really was to get the ball into the lads, because they did deliver. School has been disrupted and their lives have been disrupted, and I suppose it gave them something to focus on too. And they delivered really well there today.
They delivered really well there against Longford, Tommy. A game you watched. What do you make of this team?
Well, the jury be still out. They did what they had to do that day against Longford. As the manager said, their inside men did very, very well. A couple of them caught the eye big time. And it's very interesting to see now how they can produce it again on Saturday against Carlo, because we're meeting Carlo. I don't think I've never seen Carlo play so often in one season.
Yeah,
half season.
Yeah.
Hurling a football, we seem to be bumping into them everywhere. But no doubt they'll be up for the game as well. But home advantage and a couple of hundred people in at the game is all a help.
All right. We'll have updates with Seamus Dillon, or not Seamus, Pat Costello and Peter McConnon. Jeez, my head's spinning from all the games we're covering, and it's true. I feel I'm back in my CKR days with all the Carlo teams that we're meeting. On to Sunday then, Tommy, with the ladies in action in Ballinasloe. Now, Erica Burke is back in the panel. Roisin Byrne is recovering from surgery and we wish her the absolute best. Trina Duggan is out following the injury she received in the league final loss to Laois. First, Owen has the team named for tomorrow.
In goal, Dervla McGinn, Maynooth, fullbacks Claire Sullivan, Carberry, Leisha Lenehan, Kill, Mia Doherty, Leakslip. Halfback line, Lauren Murta, Milltown, Lara Gilbert, Kildangan, Nerney, Hazel McLaughlin, Eadstown. Middle of the field, both from Eadstown, Siobhan O'Sullivan and Gráinne Keneally. Half forwards, Kira Wheeler, St. Lawrence. Lawrence's Lara Curran, Milltown, Grace Clifford, Eadstown. Full forward line, Ellen Dowling, Suncroft, Nessa Dooley, Castle Dermot and Aoife Rattigan, Kappa.
Some of the big names still absent there, Tommy, following the recent fallout from playing with clubs or whatever, but and hard to assess how that game might go in Ballinasloe.
Yeah, it's a tough game, Clem, and missing, of course, not through any disagreement, but through injury. But Roisin and Cliona, and they're two huge losses. Roisin had her operation during the week. I'd like to wish her all the best, and hopefully she'll be back sooner rather than later. But they're two big names to be missing, apart from the other couple as well. Clare probably go into this one as underdogs to travel all the way to Ballinasloe. They're due a break. They've got to the league final, lost by a point, and were beaten also by Laois earlier on. They'll meet Laois again, I think, next week or the week after in the championship. So this is a vital game for the footballers. But again, they're going to have to play as well as they're capable of playing, and it's not going to be easy.
And their manager is Daniel Moynihan.
This year we brought in quite a lot of young players to freshen things up a little bit, to develop Kildare and to move forward with Kildare. And I think what they've shown over the last, you know, the last few games is that they're more than capable of doing a job. And you know, you're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds that are playing in a National League final and stood up to the plate and worked really hard for the jersey. So that can only be a plus for Kildare.
That game throws in Ballinasloe at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Thomas Maher will be presenting Sunday Sports Beat and Seamus Dillon will be doing the reporting. And Tommy, finally, before you go, and briefly, the 2020 Junior Tom Cross Transport Junior Football Final takes place on Sunday. Carra against Robertstown, isn't it?
Carra against Robertstown, yeah, looking forward to this one. I was at the both semi-finals there the last couple of weeks. Probably the two teams you'd expect to be there, even after all the disruption. I tell you, Clem, this is a very, very hard game to call, because there's capable players on both sides. You have the likes of Dan Campbell, Jake Corrigan and Carra. You have Joe Kavanagh and Aidan Dunn, they'd be the two main scorers, and a few more, of course, from Robertstown. I wouldn't be surprised if we could be in St. Collins Park a bit longer than we might expect on Sunday, because this one, I wouldn't be surprised if we went extra time.
All right, OK. On that note, you can read the previews in this week's edition of the Leinster Leader. Tommy Callan, the sports editor there. And next Tuesday's edition, he'll be bringing you all the news of those as well. And thank you, Tommy, for that. Have a good sporting weekend.
And you, Clem.
And we'll talk to you again next weekend. Thank you indeed. That's Tommy Callan with his assessment of how things might pan out this weekend. And all the action will be live here on KFM beginning tomorrow. Time to go. Thanks for your company. Indeed, John Dunn is up next with the 11 to 2 show. Tune in here for a great sporting and music weekend right across KFM. And from Owen, Kira and myself, we'll do it all again on Monday morning from 9 to the newsroom and Kira Plunkett.